Well, if you brought your Bibles, if you'd open to Genesis 41. Genesis 41. The person of Joseph. Joseph interprets dreams. Joseph is a dreamer. He's a real neat guy. He's a picture of Christ in the Old Testament, as you know. There's a few of those, if you recall. The ark was a picture of Christ. You remember saving the people from judgment. Locking them in, God closed the door, God opened the door, and that ark showed Christ and his salvation of all those who will enter in faith. And then we come to Joseph, a picture of Christ again, one who would be betrayed, one who would live a life of service to other people, people who would betray him, one who shows incredible forgiveness and mercy and grace himself. And so we have this great picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament in the person of Joseph. Joseph was a young man, but his life has changed. You remember last week we said life changes in an instant, and his life changed in a moment. In the snap of a finger, as his brothers colluded together to get rid of him, this dreamer, let's throw him in a pit and see what comes of his dreams. And they sold him into slavery. And all of a sudden, the favorite son is the lowliest slave. But that doesn't stop Joseph from serving the Lord. He rises in honor. He rises in reputation. He rises above all of that to become overseer of his master's house, only to be again falsely accused and thrown into another pit, where in spite of that, he would still minister to the people who are around him, two other men who were thrown into the pit. And one of them would forget him later. And we pick up with that. After the man, this chief cupbearer, has forgotten Joseph, chapter 41, we kind of went through verse 1 last week, but we'll just read it again. After two whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. 2 years Joseph's been in this jail, 2 years plus, because we don't know how long he was in there before the other men showed up, because at the beginning of chapter 40, it just simply says, sometime after this, sometime after he's thrown in jail, sometime after that second betrayal, sometime after this. Then the men come, and they're there a short time. 2 years after that, Joseph was still in the pit, and Pharaoh had a dream. A dream that would test Joseph, a dream that will test his faith, a dream that will test his willingness to humble himself, as we'll see in just a moment, but a dream. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke. Probably I would too. And he fell asleep. And he dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. We have two images here, don't we? We have the image of the cows, and we have the image of the corn. And both these images are very interesting because both images represent a very unique and a very special environmental condition that occurs right in this area of the Middle East. The very first one we see is the cow and how these cows were feasting along the Nile, then coming up out of the river. The Nile River, if you know, is the longest river in the world. It's 3,500 miles about long. Now, to give you some perspective, that's about as wide as the continental United States, 3,500 miles. That's how long this river is. And it comes out of Africa and it flows all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, when it gets to the sea, it kind of branches out into this delta area. And every single year, what happens is that delta will flood. And when the Delta floods, it fertilizes the land. It turns it into a very lush pasture. And so it's not uncommon for cattle at that time and during that time of year to go down into this area that's been flooded and almost neck deep wade into the water, eating the grass that's growing up through it. So it's a very common sight. When we lived in Albuquerque, there was a town just north of us called Corrales. And Corrales literally means corrals. It was a farming community. But it was unique because it was the greenest, nicest town in the whole metropolitan area. Every year, right around the beginning of springtime, the farmers who had land adjacent or just, you know, touching the Rio Grande River would all do the same thing. They would flood their farmland with the river itself. They would just open up the doors, open up the blockades. They would open up everything, and they would let it all flood into their farmland about 6 inches, 12 inches deep. And they would just let it sit. And as the water came into the farmland, it would bring in with it nutrients and silt and all kinds of great stuff for the ground, and it would just soak, and they would just leave it for a month or 2 months, and it would just be absorbed into the ground. And it produced some of the finest farmland in the entire city. In fact, they were able to grow things in those fields that you could not grow just across the street. Very efficient way of fertilizing the field. Well, that's exactly what we see going on here. These cows are grazing in this grass that's been encouraged to grow because of this flood. So that's one scene that we have. That's the first vision. The second vision is the corn. Very unusual that you would get 7 ears on one stalk. I don't know how much you all know about corn. I imagine some of you know quite a bit, but 7 ears on one stalk, that doesn't happen. That's not normal. You might possibly get 3. Usually you get 2. Sometimes you only get 1, but you don't get 7. That's a very unusual sight. So that tells us this is definitely a dream. But what he sees is these 7 stalks that have been swallowed up by these 7 puny things that were blighted by, it says, the east wind. Now, the east wind there is a wind that comes out of the east, and it has the capability of raising the temperature 50, 60 degrees in a matter of hours. Very common thing to go on in the Middle East. Ravages farms, ravages crops, ruins whole produce. We had something like that as well when we lived in Albuquerque. I don't know if it was called the east wind, but it was definitely a condition where it was very much like living in a convection oven. And I say that because when the sun would come out, it would heat up the sand so much that when the breeze would blow, it did not cool you down, it warmed you up. Because it was blowing that superheated sand that would give you third-degree burns without shoes. And it was blowing that superheated air all around and cycling, and it was moving and circulating, and you're caught in that. So many people think, well, great, I'll go stand under a tree. Nuh-uh, doesn't work. Because the sand is so hot, and the heat rises, the tree acts like an insulator. So believe it or not, in the desert, it can be hotter in the breeze in the shade than under the sun itself. That was what we had. They had the east wind. They had something that would come out and destroy their crops. So what we have here is a scene that relates very well to their condition. Hard for us to understand because we're not there, but something no doubt they'd be familiar with. Oh yeah, the cows, they do that every year. They do go down and they graze. But what does this mean that they're coming out of the river? We don't understand that. What does this mean that the 7 puny cows, the 7 skinny, scrawny cows are eating up these big ones? We don't get that, and we don't get the corn stalk thing, but we understand why it's blighted. The east wind does that. So they could relate to the dream, but they didn't understand the meaning. Verse 9, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. You remember this guy, the chief cupbearer. You know, it's funny how people have a tendency of remembering things right when they need them, right when they think it might serve them some purpose. Well, this cupbearer, you recall, he was in prison with Joseph. This was the guy that came to Joseph with the dream, and Joseph said, what that means is Pharaoh will restore you. You're going to get your position back. You're going to get your job back. The other guy, he's going to be hung. That's kind of a bummer for him, but you're going to go back to glory. That's where you're going, to the right hand of Pharaoh. The only thing I ask, Joseph said, is just remember me when you get there. I shouldn't be here. I was stolen. I've served you, and just remember me. Keep me in your mind. And for 2 years, he forgets. But today, he says, I remember my offenses. Interesting that he remembers his offenses. When I was a kid, anytime I'd get in trouble at school, they would typically call my father. And on the way home, I remember being very young, and my dad would ask things like, how was school today? And usually, oh, it was fine. What'd you do? Oh, nothing. You know how kids answer. And then anytime I'd be in trouble, I'd try the same answer. How was school today? Oh, it was fine. Anything happen today? Oh, nothing. Are you sure? Amazing how I could remember. Does the same thing with our children today when Owen comes home from school. How did school go? Oh, it was great. Really? Is there something you have forgotten? Are you remembering your offenses? Well, this cupbearer today has remembered his offenses. He remembers being thrown into jail. He remembers upsetting Pharaoh. We don't know what he did to get thrown into that pit, but it must have been something bad, something that annoyed his boss. And so he got thrown into jail. And right when he's in a position of having to be Johnny on the spot and not having an answer, I can't help but imagine that in this cupbearer's mind, we don't have a name, but in his mind, he's going, boy, the last time this happened, I was thrown into this hole. I better come up with something quick. Oh, I remember there was that guy, Joseph. And he gave me a great interpretation. It came true. Maybe Joseph can help. I remember my offenses today, he says. Verse 10. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. I remember what I did then. I don't want to go back. He says, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Now, if you've ever applied for a job, you know, no doubt they're going to want to talk to your references. Who is it that can vouch for your work? Who is it that can testify to your product? What can we expect? Who can give us that insight? They're going to look for somebody who can give them some perspective into who you are. Well, when it comes to prophets in the Bible, and you should know that in this particular case, Joseph is acting as a prophet. He's giving prophecy. These are things that will come to pass. The Lord is speaking through him, interpreting this dream, but he's acting as a prophet in this capacity. And the Bible says when it comes to prophets that we ought to test them. And it specifically tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that not every spirit is of God. That we ought to test the spirits and be discerning, it says, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So the Bible tells us to test these, to put them up against a criteria. And then it gives us that criteria. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So in other words, if this thing actually happens, this person is from God. So what that means for us in the meantime, and what that means for people who are sitting and waiting while prophecy is waiting to unfold and so on, don't get excited. Be cautious, be discerning, be testing. Joseph has a very high recommendation. This man, this cupbearer, has brought his name up to Pharaoh. Now, if you're this cupbearer and you're remembering that last time you failed Pharaoh, you ended up in jail, you're going to make sure that the person you recommend this time is going to come through. And so he remembers Joseph. He remembers this dream. He remembers how it went. The interpretation came true. This prophet is from God. I bet you he could help. Verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh, verse 14. The Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. Seven cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. Seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first seven plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten from them, because they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream seven ears growing on one stalk, full and good. Seven ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. I imagine this Pharaoh is a guy who has a very low tolerance for failure at work. I imagine he's a man of little patience. I imagine that he's anxious to have this dream answered. I imagine that right now, at this point in his life, he's very stressed, he's very confused, possibly very scared. And so are the people around him. He has a reputation for throwing people into jail and hanging them for pleasure. And so here's a dream that's very mysterious, and of course no one can give him an explanation. I bet nobody wants to go out on the limb. Very unusual sight. Something they might recognize, but at the same time, something very foreign. But notice that even though Joseph knows this about this Pharaoh, remember, he's the one that interpreted the dream in the first place, where the baker would be hanged. Joseph knows this. Joseph knows this man is a man of little patience and probably very little forgiveness. And yet Joseph still goes to him in faith. And he said, I'll be happy to help you, but it isn't coming from me. It's coming from God. That message is not going to come from my mind, it's going to come from the mouth of the Lord through my lips. That's what's going to happen. God will give you your interpretation. I can't figure that out. Whatever it is, it's coming from him. Now, I can tell you that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were two groups of people that dealt with worship, that represented God or people and kind of mediated that relationship. You had the priests. Now, the priests were responsible for taking people into the presence of the Lord. That was their job. They did it through offering, through sacrifice. They did it through prayer. They did it through ritual, through law. But that was the priest's job, to bring you into the presence of God. The prophets, on the other hand, were responsible for taking God's message to the presence of people. And so you have a very different dynamic during this time where people can't just go into the presence of the Lord like we can and sing praise to him like we can and pray freely like we can. You've got to have someone in between. And very often it became the prophet's job to share a message that was hard. Hard truth. Hard truth is hard to share. I can tell you as a pastor, very often when we come to a passage of Scripture, and it covers a topic that I know is going to be unpopular, but it's in the Bible. People will, from time to time, come up to me and say, well, you know, I just don't like that. I don't like what that had to say. I don't like what you said. And my answer is always, very honestly, that's between you and the author. It's not my job to make the message. It's not my job to create the message. Don't shoot the messenger. My job is to just simply deliver what's in here. And Joseph's job is to simply deliver what God will give him. He's a tool. We're all tools. We're instruments of the Lord and his will. That's great. That's terrific. But that means if somebody has a problem with what his word says, they ought to take it up with the author. Well, Joseph basically says, look, Pharaoh, I'm going to go to the Lord on this for you. And he's going to give you an answer. But it's coming from him. And so if you don't like what it says, don't shoot the messenger. Take it up with the author. Take it up with the Lord. Verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is, as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dreams means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. Here's what that means for us. Like it or not, hard times are coming, aren't they? Life is hard. Life is real hard. And if you're not in a hard time, you're on your way to one. It's just the way it goes. Difficulty happens, like it or not. Prepared or not, hardship is around the corner almost every day. Something will happen daily. Something major might happen monthly or annually, but we all deal with hard times. It's going to happen. The thing is to not live in denial, not the Nile, denial. Don't live there, because we have the ability to prepare for the hard times that are coming. And we can either prepare or not prepare, but those difficulties, those hardships, those trials and tribulations will still show up. If you've ever read any of Dave Ramsey's work, and if you went through our Financial Peace University here, you know one of the things Dave Ramsey says in his baby steps to financial independence, to being debt-free, the first thing is you want to save up an emergency fund of $1,000. Get an emergency fund of $1,000. Because statistically, it's proven, and this is true, most of everything that happens to you in life can be fixed for $1,000. Your brakes go out in your car unexpectedly. Great, I've got $1,000 sitting in the bank. I can fix my brakes for $1,000. My refrigerator stops working. I can get a new one for $1,000. It might not be shiny and fancy, but it'll be something that works. It'll get me through. The hot water heater could go out. The furnace could go out. Usually $1,000 can at least solve the issue to the point where it's bearable until a permanent solution, if it's beyond $1,000, can be seen or can be come across or secured. And so we can either prepare for that or we cannot prepare for that. But either way, it's going to happen. And in this case, either way, this famine is going to happen. 7 years of plenty will be there. But don't let it fool you, because there's hard times a-coming. Get ready. Store up 1/5 of everything. Verse 37. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. People like it when you tell it to them straight, don't they? Do you like when people beat around the bush? We have this conversation at home all the time with the kids. It's like, just tell me what you want to tell me. Just give it to me straight. Tell me straight up, Doc, what is it? What do I got? How are we going to fix this? It's very sad when the culture goes to a point where political correctness takes such a high priority that people don't say what they mean. They say what they think the other person wants to hear in the way the person thinks they want to hear it. And because of that, hardly anybody says what they mean. Now, could you imagine if Joseph had given this interpretation politically correct? There's going to be 7 years of sustenance, and then there'll be 7 years of difficulty, but it's not going to be your fault, and really don't worry about it, and what we can do is go to the next country, and they'll help us out, and it isn't going to be your fault, Pharaoh. And could you imagine if he just kind of beat around the bush with that? He simply says, there's going to be hard times. They're coming. Get ready. And Pharaoh was pleased with that. Honesty goes a long way, and it went a long way here. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regard the throne will I be greater than you. If you've ever been in a church committee meeting, you've probably seen this happen. Someone has an idea, and now they're in charge. Well, that's a great idea. Why don't you take care of that for us? Well, Pharaoh looks at Joseph. That's a great idea, Joseph. Why don't you take care of that for us? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put gold chains about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. And we'll continue with this next week. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this great example of Joseph who steps out in faith. He's not quite sure what's going to happen when he gives your message, but you've called him to give it. And he gave it. And he shared it in faith, and he shared it honestly, and it pleased Pharaoh. Lord, may we share your word honestly. May we, Father, have the opportunity to speak into someone's life straightforward. Lord, we know that you use ordinary people because we're here and you use us. We know from your word that you picked Moses, who was 80 years old when you called him, guarding the flock of his father-in-law. Mary was just a young 14-year-old virgin girl who had no husband, and yet she was the mother of Christ. Lord, you use ordinary people, and so we know that you use us. We pray that you would use us. Give us that, Lord. Give us that spirit that you gave Joseph to speak out boldly and with confidence when it comes to your word, to live that way. We pray, Lord, that we would take that example and shine that into the world around us. Give us an opportunity to do that. We pray that you bring us back again next week. Keep us safe until that time. Give us a chance to be the light for you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.